Welcome to the Folktale Project. This is Dan Shawls. Today we're going to finish with our last story this week in Viking Tales. It's not our last story in this, for we are still just beginning the section of this book called Part 1 in Norway. We've started with the birth of Harald, and now, well, we're going to learn a bit more about his thrall, Olaf. This is Olaf's Farm. At another time, Harald asked, "What is your country, Olaf? Have you always been a thrall?" The thrall's eyes flashed. "When you are a man," he said, "and go a Viking to Denmark, ask men whether they ever heard of Olaf the Crafty. There, far off, is my country across the water. My father was Gudbrand the Big. 200 warriors feasted in his hall and followed him to battle. 10 sons sat at meal with him, and I was the youngest. One day he said, 'You're grown to be men. This is not elbow room here for so many chiefs. The eldest of you shall have my farm when I die. The rest of you off a Viking.' He had 3 ships. These he gave to 3 of my brothers, but I stayed that spring and built me a boat. I made for only 20 oars because I thought few men would follow me, for I was young, 15 years old. I made her in the likeness of a dragon. At the prow, I carved the head with open mouth and forked tongue thrust out. I painted the eyes red for anger. 'There, stand so,' I said, 'and glare and hiss at my foes.' In the stern, I curved the tail up almost as high as the head. There I put the pilot seat and a strong tiller for the rudder. On the breast and sides, I carved the dragon's scales. Then I painted it all black, and on the tip of every scale, I put gold. I called her Wave Runner. There she sat on the rollers, as fair a ship as I ever saw. The night that it was finished, I went to my father's feast. After the meats were eaten and the mead horns came around, I stood up from my bench and raised my drinking horn high and spoke with a great voice. 'This is my vow. I will sail to Norway, and I will harry the coast and fill my boat with riches. Then I will get me a farm and will winter in that land. Now, who will follow me?' 'He is but a boy,' the men said. 'He has opened his mouth wider than he can do.' But others jumped to their feet with their mead horns in their hands. 30 men, one after another, raised their horns and said, 'I will follow this lad, and I will not turn back so long as he and I live.' On the next morning we got into my dragon and started. I sat high in the pilot's seat. As our boat flashed down the rollers into the water, I made this song and sang it. 'The dragon runs, where will she steer? Where swords will sing, where spears will bite, where I shall laugh.' So we harried the coast of Norway. We ate at many men's tables uninvited. Many men we found overburdened with gold. Then I said, 'My dragon's belly is never full,' and on board went the gold. Oh, it is better to live on the sea and let other men raise your crops and cook your meals. A house smells of smoke, a ship smells of frolic. From a house you can see a sooty roof, from a ship you see Valhalla. Up and down the water we went to get much wealth and much frolic. After a while my men said, 'What of the farm, Olaf?' 'Not yet,' I answered. 'Viking is better for summer. When the ice comes, when our dragon cannot play, then we will get our farm and sit down.' At last the winter came, and I said to my men, 'Now for the farm. I have my eye on one up the coast away in King Halfdan's country.' So we set off for it. We landed late at night and pulled our boat up on shore and walked quietly to the house. It was a rather wealthy farm, for there were stables and a storehouse and a smithy at the sides of the house. There was but one door to the house. We went to it, and I struck it with my spear. 'Hello! Oh, hello!' I shouted, and my men made a great din. At last someone from inside said, 'Who calls?' 'I call,' I answered. 'Open, or you'll think it is Thor who calls.' And I struck my shield against the door so that it made a great clanging. The door opened only a little, but I pushed it wide and leaped into the room. It was so dark I could see nothing but a few sparks on the hearth. I stood with my back to the wall, for I wanted no sword reaching out of the dark for me. 'Now, start up the fire,' I said. 'Come, come,' I called when no one obeyed. 'A fire! This is cold welcome for your guests.' My men laughed. 'Yes, a stingy host. He acts as though he has not expected us.' But now the farmer was blowing on the coals and putting on fresh wood. Soon it blazed up and we could see about us. We were in a little feast hall, with a fire down in the middle of it. There were benches for 20 men along each side. The farmer crouched by the fire, afraid to move, on a bench in a corner, where a dozen people huddled together. "Ho, thralls!" I called to them. "Bring in the table, we are hungry." Off they ran through a door at the back of the hall. My men came in and lay down by the fire and warmed themselves, but I set two of them as guards at the door. "Well, friend farmer," laughed one, "why such a long face? Do you not think we shall be merry company?" "We came only to cheer you," said another. "What man wants to spend the winter with no guests?" "Ah," another then cried out, sitting up, "here comes something that will be a welcome guest to my stomach." The thralls were bringing in a great pot of meat. They set up a crane over the fire and hung the pot upon it, and we sat and watched it boil while we joked. At last the supper began. The farmer sat gloomily on the bench and would not eat, and you cannot wonder, for he saw us putting potfuls of his good beef and basket loads of bread into our big mouths. When the tables were taken out and the mead horns came round, I stood up and raised my horn and said to the farmer, "You would not eat with us. You cannot say no to half of my ale. I drink this to your health." Then I drank half of the hornful and sent the rest across the fire to the farmer. He took it and smiled, saying, "Since it is to my health, I will drink it. But I thought that all this night's work would be my death." "Oh, do not fear that," I laughed, "for a dead man sets no tables." So we drank, and all grew merrier. At last I stood up and said, "I like this little taste of your hospitality, friend farmer. I have decided to accept more of it." My men roared with laughter. "Come," they cried, "thank him for that, farmer. Did you ever have such a lordly guest before?" I went on, "There is no fun in having guests unless they keep you company and make you merry. So I will give out this law that my men shall never leave you alone. Hakon here shall be your constant companion, friend farmer. He shall not leave you day or night, whether you are working or playing or sleeping. Leif and Grim shall be the same kind of friends to your two sons." I named 9 others and said, "And these shall follow your thralls in the same way. Now am I not careful to make your time go merrily?" So I set guards over everyone in that house. Not once all winter did they stir out of sight of some of us. So no tales got out to the neighbors. Besides, it was a lonely place, and by good luck no one came that way. Oh, that was fat and easy living. Well, after we had been there for a long time, Hakon came in to the feast one night and said, "I heard a cuckoo today." "It is the call to go a Viking," I said. All my men put their hands to their mouths and shouted. Their eyes danced. Big Thorleif stood up and stretched himself. "I'm stiff with long sitting," he said. "I itch for a fight." I turned to the farmer. "This is our last feast with you," I said. "Well," he laughed, "this has been the busiest winter I ever spent, and the merriest. May good luck go with you." "By the beard of Odin," I cried, "you have taken our joke like a man." My men pounded the table with their fists. "By the hammer of Thor," shouted Grim, "he is no stingy coward. He is a man fit to carry my drinking horn, the horn of a sea rover and a sword swinger. Here, friend, take it." And he thrust it into the farmer's hand. "May you drink heart's ease from it for many years. And with it, I leave you a name, Sif the Friendly. I shall hope to drink with you sometime in Valhalla." Then all my men poured around that farmer and clapped him on the shoulder and piled things upon him, saying, "Here is a ring for Sif the Friendly, and here is a bracelet. A sword would not be ashamed to hang at your side." I took 5 bracelets of gold from our treasure chest and gave them to him. The old man's eyes opened wide at all these things, and at the same time he laughed. "May Odin send me such guests every winter," he said. Early next morning we shook hands with our host and boarded the Wave Runner and sailed off. "Where should we go?" my man asked. "Let the gods decide," I said, and tossed up my spear. When it fell on the deck, it pointed upshore, so I steered in that direction. That is the best way to decide, for the spear will always point somewhere, and, well, one thing is as good as another. That time, it pointed us into your father's ships. They closed in battle with us and killed my men and sunk my ship and dragged me off a prisoner. They were 3 against 1, or they might have tasted something more bitter at our hands. They took me before King Halfdan. "Here," they said, "is a rascal who has been harrying our coasts. We sunk his ship and men, but him we brought to you." "A robber Viking," said the king, and scowled at me. I threw back my head and laughed. "Yes, and with all your fingers it took you a year to catch me." The king frowned more angrily. "Saucy, too," he said. All thieves must die. Take him out, Thorkel, and let him taste your sword. Your mother, the queen, was standing by. Now, she put a hand on his arm and smiled, and said, He's only a lad. Let him live. And would he not be a good gift for our baby? Your father thought a moment, and then looked at your mother and smiled. Soft heart, he said gently to her. Then to Thorkel, Well, let him go, Thorkel. Then he turned to me again, frowning. But, young sharp tongue, now that we have caught you, we will put you into a trap that you cannot get out of. Weld an iron collar on his neck. So, I lived, and now am your tooth thrall. Well, it is the luck of war. But by the chair of Odin, I kept my vow.
Yes,
cried Harold, jumping to his feet.
And had a joke into the bargain. Ah, sometime I will make a brave vow like that.
And that is Olaf's Farm. A story of a Viking. And, well, him having a wonderful time over the winter and being good to his host. And teaching young Harold all about the ways of going a Viking. This is Dan Scholes for the Folktale Project. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Overcast, anywhere you like to get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Folktale Project. You can find us on Auto Radio, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Spotify, anywhere you like to listen. And you can always head over to folktaleproject.com, where you'll find a new story waiting for you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Next week, we'll be back with the next three stories of Part 1 in Norway of Viking Tales. As always, thank you so much for listening.